Turn with me this morning to the book of Joshua chapter 1. As you're turning to Joshua chapter 1, we had been dealing all this week about Paul. He kept the faith. He said, I finished the course. You know, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. I'm a man, I always believe in finishing the course. In other words, what God starts in you, you finish. I believe there's a scripture in the gospel that says, when you're building a tower, count that cost. Make sure it's finished. And I've learned something about flowing in God's word. And you listen to this statement, it'll help you. Never become intoxicated with success, because you'll live a drunk's life. Or never become paralyzed with failure, because you'll live in the ditch of life. We might want to write that down. That's one of Jesse's quotes. No matter how quick or how fast or how great God is moving in your life, especially in your ministry or whatever, never become intoxicated with that success. Because you see, you won't function unless success is constant in your life. And before you know it, you put success ahead of God. Or the exact opposite is true, never become paralyzed with failure. In other words, just accept what Satan has dealt you to a degree that you'll never amount to anything else other than a muddy puddle. And if you'll understand that and walk in the light of what Jesus is saying in that, you will become and will complete your destiny in God. He told Timothy, his protege, be instant in season, out of season. Most people are concerned about the seasons. God's concerned about the instancy. In other words, just be instant. Be ready. You're liable to be called on to heal a sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils at McDonald's. That could happen. Now, usually it doesn't, but it could. The whole key to it is being instant instead of the seasons. And let me say it again. If you'll flow in that anointing of God and not have your eyes on what God is doing for you, but what God is doing through you, the for you will talk for itself. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, I want to deal with in closing out my sessions of this great convention is possessing your vision. Or in other words, completing what God has for you. Now, I'll give you a little historical background. Moses has left the palace walls of Egypt to pastor 3 million people that don't like him. That's why there was never a vote in that camp. I think 2.5-3 million, well, Acts Finest Date says there's 6 million people came out of Egypt. He said the Bible called them a mixed multitude. Now, I don't know, but I'll just leave that to you. He said about 3 million Jews and the rest about 3 million heathens trying to get out of oppression of Egypt of that day. I said, well, I leave that to you for you if you want to believe that or not. It sounds right. I don't know. But I made up my mind that this man Moses was a meek man, and out of all those millions of people, he only two of them liked him. And that was Joshua and Caleb. And God also noticed that too. Aaron gave him a lot of trouble. Miriam gave, they didn't like Moses' taste in women. They didn't like that Ethiopian woman that he had married. For some reason, that just bothered the fire out of them. So one lady got struck with leprosy, his sister. And he took the man that she criticized to pray for her to get her out of leprosy. So beware, very careful and aware of what you say about the people of God. And you know the story, for 40 years they wander in the wilderness, just wandering. I've seen that before. I know some people have been wandering in the church for 30 years. What does that mean? They go to the sanctuary, they go to the bathroom, they go to the Sunday school room. That's wandering. And they have the same taste as the other people. They believe in murmur. They don't like the growth of a church because they lose power. I call those deacon-possessed churches. So, you know the historical background. Finally, those stiff-necked people die out in the wilderness and their kids grow up. Moses' body is not abated. He's 120 years old climbing mountains and he ain't wearing no glasses. That's a blessing to God. You know, I don't wear glasses of any kind whatsoever at all. I don't have contacts or anything, and I'm 46 years old at the time of this preaching. But the other day, my Bible took off swimming. For the first time. Because, I mean, I don't wear, you know, because I jog a lot and try to keep in shape and run and pump a little bit and do all this kind of stuff that I'm supposed to do. But the other day, man, that Bible went, ooh. Hallelujah. So I thought of lens crafters. So what I'm going to do, get me, that's so fine. And I looked at my, it just came upon me when I least expected. And I looked at my watch and I said, what time is that, sir? Praise God. For the first time. Moses says, okay, time for you, Joshua, to bring these people over. So Moses goes home to be with the Lord. Actually, he goes, we don't know where he went. We know he went to heavenly spirit, but where his body was, we don't know. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says this. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now, notice this. They've been having a funeral for 30 days. I mean, they've been mourning. I mean, this is a great man. And, you know, you think that Jesus would have a little compassion, but, you know, he's still thinking about what's got to be done. I know what's on God's mind when he writes this. Every man's work must be a continuation. Get up, move, let's go. We bawled, we squalled, we've done all that kind of stuff. Now let's go on and complete what I've done or what I'm going to do for these people. So he says this, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, all the sympathy cards have finally come in. Moses, my servant, is dead now. I mean, this is barely a pause. That's not a comma, it's a semicolon. Now, therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now notice verse 1 and verse 2 is confession. But verse 3 goes from confession to possession. Read verse 2 with me again. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, verse 1, verse 2 is confession. They've been believing God to get to that promised land. Now, possession is upon them. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given. In other words, it's already been done. Bless God, get up and walk on it. Faith without works is dead. Faith has to produce action. Read verse 3 again. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So he's repeating himself. And he never tells you what you can have unless he gives you the boundaries of it. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites. Now, he didn't ask the Hittites at all. You ain't got to know something about God. He ain't going to ask nobody. Bless God, he give you something. And someone else may own it, but they're going to have to turn it loose. He said, even the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So there are your boundaries. Now, take it. Yeah, but they're Hittites, Jebusites, and all them other Hites out there. What are we going to do? Don't make no difference. They're Hittites, hit them. Tell them to move. That's how God is. I like what Sister Glory said. He never checks your bank account when he tells you to do something. Just tell you to do it. Now, notice what he's saying here. Now, this is possession. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. That's a comforting statement. In other words, Joshua, have no fear. Jehovah's here. I never forget one time a man wanted to punch me while I was preaching. He was very angry at me. He then spit at me 3 times. I then dodged that 3 or 4. I mean, it's hard going, you know. I could see it coming, so I dodged, you know. He said, I'm going to beat your brains. I remember that scripture. I said, Lord, you was with Joshua. All I ask you to do is be with me. Knock that boy down. And he did knock him down, but he stopped him from spitting. And the man just stopped. You could see the power of the Lord actually touched that man. It was on a street corner I was preaching a few years ago. And you saw when the power of God hit him and broke that cold, callous heart and that murderous spirit. And he could have done it. And I believe the policeman would have let it. I don't think they wanted to hear me preach that much. His horse liked it. He's sitting on that horse, and man, I go, glory, can you say amen? The horse goes, yeah. I thought, praise God, I got one. Somebody listening. Sometimes I say something like, he goes, no. Must have been a Pentecostal horse, I don't know. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now watch this. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Or in other words, I'm not a respecter of person. You my man. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now watch this. Be strong and of good courage. That's a hint. The Hittites ain't gonna like you. Be strong. Or be joyous. And of good courage. For unto this land shalt thou divide for an inheritance. Notice the reason Jesus is taking out these people out of Egypt and bring them over to a promised land. What for? Prosperity. He's trying to give them an inheritance. All he wants to do is be a blessing. That's all over the Bible if you just read it. Everything, the end result of all Christian life, I'm going to say this, and I'll probably get letters on this, but it's the truth. The end result of all Christian life is prosperity. God's trying to bless his people. He took them 40 years to get across that Jordan River, and I saw it. I saw it. I went to Israel and saw it. I almost could jump across that. To me, that's not a river. That's a canal. That's a very big ditch to us. Man, I live a quarter of a mile from the Mississippi River. Now, that's a river. When that thing want to change course, get out its way. It's going to do it. Especially where the Atchafalaya and the Mississippi come together. Son, ain't nothing going to stop that. It took them 40 years to jump a ditch. Why? Maybe because they couldn't receive prosperity. They couldn't get in that over and above life. Now, God brought it to them with the spies. They brought all them big grapes. Looked like cantaloupes in some of those paintings I saw. Call it milk and honey. Eat this stuff. No, no, we in the raisins, man. We want everything dried. Notice the word inheritance. All he's trying to do is get them an inheritance. Inherit the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Verse 7. Now, this is the second time God says this to Joshua. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, all the word. See, you got to be very strong and very courageous to walk in the word of God. When you walk in the word of God, I want to let you know, man, I mean, people are going to attack you. Not the heathens, the Christians that are hiding under the bushes. They're under them bushes. Their lights out, Jack. They're under them bushes. So when you start walking in the word, they'll try to trip you. They'll do everything they can. Because they don't want nobody to know, bless God, that they have been walking, they've been hiding. So he says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Now watch this. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. That thou mayest prosper. There's that word again. Inheritance in the first one, prosper in the second one. What has God got on his mind? Prosperity. Trying to be a blessing to people, but no, no, no. They still got onion rings and leeks on their mind from Egypt. Now, this is what he said. Prosper whithersoever thou goest. Or in other words, every place you put your foot, glory to God, real estate's being handed out, boy. Claim your right to that cause. Watch this, verse 8. This book of the law, or the Bible, or the word, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Notice, why is that? Your ears got to hear what your mouth is saying. But thou shalt meditate. Now we went from the body to the soul. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now if you don't understand that, in there day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein or in there. Notice that. From the body to the soul. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. There's that word again that preachers don't like. That people say, that's not right. That's a false doctrine. My God, Joshua, what's wrong with you? You're going to get a book wrote about you if you don't quit doing this. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Inheritance, prosperity, prosperous, good success. This is what God's trying to get over to his people. Then he says in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Don't read any of these books these people are writing. Oh, no, it didn't say that. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? You know, people are against prosperity. Why do they sell them? That's all I'd like to know. I mean, if they're against prosperity, why are they selling the book? Write me and let me know, would you? Thank you. Okay. That's all. I mean, you know, I ain't the smartest man in the world, but I can figure that out. If you're against it, don't take no money. Money's a curse to you. I'll be waiting for your letter. Okay. I got a feeling it's coming. I use the word feeling for those kind of people. But anyway, praise God. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. He says it again. Be not afraid. Fear doesn't have a place in your life. What I said earlier, don't become intoxicated with success or you'll live a drunk's life. Don't become paralyzed with failure because all you ever see is the top of a mud hole. Be not afraid. Watch this. Neither be thou dismayed. Now, I have been attacked ferociously because I don't get dismayed. People want me to get dismayed. They want to wipe this smile off my face. Your toilet paper ain't that thick. I had a guy tell me that, bless. One day I'll wipe that smile. He was mad at me. I don't know why until today. I'll wipe that smile off that face of yours. I just looked at him. I said, God, can I get in the flesh? He said, no. I thought, no, you know, what did I do this guy? Ah, then I realized jealousy. Jealousy had just wrapped him up. And I know I have nothing in the world for anybody to be jealous about. I'm 46. My hair's white. I'm short. But I do have a beautiful wife. I got to say that. Glory to God. That's a blessing. Look at her. I'm a blessed man. I consider myself real blessed. I'll tell people, so how you doing? Blessed! I don't pull out my checkbook and say, not very well. No, I'm blessed. I don't know what's in the checkbook. I don't even know what the checkbook is. I have never seen the checkbook in 20 years. And that's simply the truth. The other day, the American Express came in. I said, Kathy, what is that? She said, you don't need to see that. I said, okay. I just agreed. What do you want me to do? She has my wallet right now. Be not dismayed. In other words, you ain't got time to get depressed. For the Lord thy God, ooh, I love that, is with thee. Now that's personal, boy. God walking with you. You're not going to meet God. God's walking with you. You understand? You're not going to a place to see if he's there. He is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest. In other words, wherever you go, I'm going. Every time I have been thrown in some pit hole when I first started preaching to minister this gospel, I've slept on army cots that a roach wouldn't get on, but the Lord was there too. I mean, he was there. We don't do that today. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, there are times that sometimes you get into those kind of situations. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're at the finest hotel in the world or the worst dump you ever saw. If Jesus is with you, you are in good company. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Possessing your vision. Got this fly, praise God. Hallelujah. Notice verse 3 of chapter 1. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. That's the same scripture as Deuteronomy 11, verse 24. If you want to research that out when Moses was talking to that first bunch. I want to deal with possessing your vision. Now, Brother Jesse, how do I finish the course? How do I fight a good fight? How do I keep the faith? How do I complete? How do I keep this joy up when the convention's over? See, that's the problem with most meetings. You know, most people go, wow, glory. But 3 weeks later, oh, Jesus. People say, what causes that? Hittites. That's a Hittite fly. Get out of here, you devil from hell. That's a Hittite fly. One of their descendants. I just lost my thought. Help me, Jesus. How do I keep up this joy? Well, God told Joshua 3 times, be strong, very courageous. How many times he's told you? I tell you how you keep it up. You get up every morning and you take a daily dose of the word of God. Glory to blood. Daily dose of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you want to drink, bless God. Drink some of this glory. Have not I commanded thee? Don't let the word of God depart out of your mouth. Out of your mind, glory to God. It's a daily process instead of a Sunday process. This is not a Sunday school journal. This is the Rhema spoken word of God. Walk through the pages every day of your life, and it'll flow for you. But to possess and finish, possessing your vision must exclude all preconditioned ideas of religion. Religion has a set course of preconditioned ideas. If you want to possess and complete your destiny and finish your course, you must exclude all preconditioned ideas of religion. Religion says you can't. God says you can. Religion says look at the circumstances. God says look at your faith. Religion says you're dying, sick, boy, you're hurting. But God says, by my stripes, you are healed. Which one do you want? See, that's excluding all preconditioned ideas of religion. See, your inheritance has no limits except by your own fear and unbelief. My God, you got to sit there and get dismayed about it. I'm getting away from that stinking fly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is it following me? He's crazy. He's disoriented. He's been trying to get out this convention center for 6 days. He's drunk with the word of God. He saw Lynn's angel. He's out of here, Jack. Your inheritance is limited only by your unbelief and fear. Now he said, possess your vision. Or in other words, cross this Jordan. You can talk about it all the days of your life, but until you get up and start walking, I suggest to all you pastors, you'll never touch your city because you don't know where most of it is. If I was you, I'd have all your people come. You don't have to walk it, but bless God, get everybody got a car in your church and have them meet, bless God, on a Saturday or whatever day that's convenient, and give them all city maps or suburban maps and say, you and drive down every street, every crack and crevice of that city and place your foot out and say, this city belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is mine. I'm God sent to be the person for this city. That's what he told Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I'll give you. But if you don't know where to walk, you'll never get it. So, possessing your vision must exclude all preconditioned ideas of religion. Your inheritance has no limits except by your own unbelief and fear. What are you saying? Let me read that verse 4. The boundaries of this wonderful inheritance. From the wilderness unto this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Ladies and gentlemen, I may be wrong in this, but I believe that was wrote 3,000 years ago. Billy, is that about right? 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, God told Israel to possess that land 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, and they still have not done it. How long does it take for you to become prosperous? 3,000 years ago, take the land. No. They still have not possessed that land in that boundary. Why? Because of what other people think. Don't never corrupt the views of the word of God by the people that are listening to it. You preach the word of God and stand on it, and God will give you your vision. See what I'm saying? Thousands of years, they still hadn't got there. Why? Jordan, other countries, Iraq, all that other stuff. But you got God on your side. Yeah, but we need America. No, you don't need America. All you got to do is call upon God. Jehovah, start walking in mountains. Jehovah walked the Golan Heights. The Syrians are going. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know that may not be too, politically correct in this administration, but this administration needs to start administrating. Do you understand what I'm saying? You better leave God's territory alone. Possessing. Confessing, I believe, but possessing. See, some people confess around a dead casket all the days of their life. But God said, Moses, my servant's dead. Get up, move. Every place, every man's work is a continuation. I've said this many times in other messages. It just comes to my mind. God always gives you more than you take. God says, here's the whole ball. Here's a whole basket of fruit. I'll take a grape. Well, you can have the whole basket. Yeah, but I'm not worthy. And how could I eat it? One day at a time. I don't understand that. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus. Got to have that country flavor when you're eating that kind of fruit. Just one day at a time. But Jesse, how do you become where you believe the word of God? One day at a time. Just one day at a time. Most people, if Brother Copeland's reading a scripture, Sister Copeland or Brother Jerry, myself, we'll start reading. And most of you people, I see you go, mm-hmm. But you read a few more. And what we're trying to do is make you centralize on what God is saying for that particular moment in time. Receive that. It's not what you eat in the word that counts. It's what you digest. You got to digest. But the problem with the Christian world, they believe in throwing up. They go, ah. And then you feed them. They go, ah, thank you. We don't like that stuff. It's got that prosperity in it. Think about that. I'm talking about possessing your vision. So possessing your vision must exclude all preconditioned ideas of religion. God gives you more than what you take. See, spiritual and physical acquisition is a must in a believer's life. Everything God tells you to do is more than words. It's action. It's possession. The Christian life is spoken of as a walk. We walk by faith. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, you do something. When God called me to preach, I didn't want to do something. I didn't want to do any of that. Finally, when I submitted to the Lord, I'll never forget that. I had people ask me, Kathy, at least two or three times a week, would you please come? You got to understand. See, I've said it many times. You see that piano? That piano was my crutch. What does that mean? That means I can play all these instruments up here. You know, I'm not bragging on that, but that was my crutch. Or in other words, when God called me and he said, I want you to preach, I'd say, okay, well, no, let me go over here. But he said, I could sit there and just tingle like and do whatever. You know, I can do all that stuff. And I can even move a little bit, bless God. You know, I can do all that. You know, when you're entertaining, they teach you all those kind of things. So in other words, you know, get behind the crutch. I had a hard time with that. And God would pull me away and say, get off there. And I said, I don't want to do that. Because I didn't think I was, I said, I'm not eloquent. I'm a Cajun. He said, so am I. I said, oh. He said, I am. Would you an imitator of me? Aren't you a Cajun? I said, hey, that's what I am. He said, now come on, let's go pass ourselves a good time, huh? And the Lord said, I guarantee it's going to work. I guarantee it. See, some people think Cajuns are stupid. No. Our culture sounds stupid. Our culture, like some people say, hey, I don't know why you Cajun bless God. Y'all eat that crawfish blood and God suck them heads. I'd never do that. Y'all so stupid. It's amazing to me. You paid £8 for that stuff and we found it in the ditch. He paid $8. I'm talking English here, Kathy. I'm in England here. £8. The pounds are higher than the dollar right now. Okay, I made a mistake. We drove it to Texas and sold it to you for $8. We found it in a ditch.
Nah.
We ain't that stupid. I said, Lord, sometimes instead of saying 9 or 10 times, Cajun say 10 or 9. Instead of saying we're going to anoint your head with oil, we're going to say we're going to pass our hand on the forehead. And people go, it's kind of like two Cajun going fishing. Boudreaux and Fontenot. Boudreaux said, Fontenot, I heard there's a good place to go fish down there. So let's go down there and get us a boat and we'll go down there and we're going to do some fishing, huh? He said, oh, sound good to me, Shad. Let's go, let's go. He said, we're going to have to rent a boat. We'll rent a boat. So we rent the boat and went down there. We went down there and we caught all them fish. And Boudreaux said, Fontenot, we want to come back here and fish tomorrow. He said, okay. He said, well, let's mark the spot. He said, oh, okay. I'll mark the spot for you, Boudreaux. So he marked the spot. The next day, he's coming back. Boudreaux said, Fontenot, did you mark the spot? He said, yeah, I put an X on the boat.
Boudreaux said, Fontenot, that's stupid.
How do you know we're going to get the same boat?
Boudreaux and Fontenot decided to go down the road.
They said, I heard they got some people play football in them big buildings with the roof on top. Yeah, let's go down there. It's called the Superdome. Okay, I will go with you. Now, Boudreaux, stay close to me. Okay, sure, I will. He said, because there's so many people that come in here right now, you know, you never know. You know, if the lab was separated, and then we won't know where each other's at. You understand? He said, I understand. He said, oh, sister, stay close to me. Okay. So they start walking. And Boudreaux said, Fontenot, do you want a Coke? He said, I'll take a Coke. Yeah, I'll take a Coke. He said, well, come with me to the Coke stand. We'll get some Coke. Okay, we'll get some Coke. So we go down to start, and the people separate Boudreaux and Fontenot. So Boudreaux looking for Fontenot. Where Fontenot? So the game starts. So Boudreaux standing up there, and he said, Fontenot! Man, where you at, Shah? Huh? Fontenot, where you at? And this man says, what's the matter with you? He said, I lost my friend Fontenot. I don't know where he's at, and I got his Coke. He said, they got 78,000 people in this building here, you understand? He said, why am I talking like you? I don't know. It's in the same joke.
How come I'm talking like you, man? I don't know. See, you got mixed up again. Yes, I did. He said, well, why don't you use these binoculars? Binoculars, man, what's that, Shaq?
He said, oh, binoculars, they got magnifying glass on them. If your friend's all the way across, all you got to do is put them on. And if he's way over there, it'll draw him real close and you can see him and you know where he's at. He said, okay, I'll do that. So Bob Boudreaux pick up his binoculars and he look, boy, and he's seeing through there. And he see Fontenot way over there. And he go, hey, Fontenot, you want a Coke?
Now, some of you Texas people saying, what did he say there? I didn't quite understand that. Gloria's asking Happy what he said. No. Okay, back to the preaching. Glory to God. So if possessing your vision excludes all preconditioned ideas of religion, never forget your heritage. Never. I've had some people say, Brother Jesse, he done got big, he gone television. But may I go down to Pont-a-Chan, Cocodre, Chauvin, Lille Caillou. And they said, the boy had come home. How you doing, huh? I said, let's pray right now. And a Cajun tongue's always in. Just say the local, I guarantee. All right. If possessing your vision excludes all preconditioned ideas of religion, then possessing your vision must include understanding yourself. Let me say that again. It's Joshua. Why did he tell Joshua three different times? Be strong, be very courageous, only be thou strong. Notice this. Because you see, if you don't believe in yourself, who is going to believe in you? Possessing your vision must exclude all preconditioned ideas, but possessing your vision must include understanding who you are. God cannot make much of any man who does not make much of himself. You got to believe you called. You got to know you called. Joshua, as I was with Moses. Yeah, but man, Moses, God, how can I step in the shoes of Moses? Moses, my servant's dead. You can't find his shoes. Now, confidence in yourself. Now, how is that built up? I'm not talking ego, because that's the flesh, or arrogance, that's the flesh. I'm talking about knowing that God has chosen you. You know what I tell my staff? I tell my staff that works for me. And a lot of times I'll have them all come in the foyer. They can tell when Jesse's in the office because I'll get the receptionist to punch that thing and says,
Jesse wants to talk to everybody in the foyer. Whatever you're doing, drop it and come now.
And sometimes I just get a revelation from God. And I get them all in there, man. It's kind of crowded. Now we're all in there. I say, I want to tell y'all something. We don't have low people on the totem pole here. You understand? Some of you are in maintenance. Some of you are in I don't know, sweeping the office and vacuuming the office. Others are in data processing. Others are in graphic arts on the magazine. Some of you are in special events coordinator. Other of you are tape minister coordinator, administrator, director of evangelism, director of operations, all that kind of stuff. I said, let me tell you something here. Out of 5 billion people, think about it. I want you to get this number in your mind. I'm going to say the same thing you people here at the Tarrant County Convention Center. Out of 5 billion people, God chose you. Out of 5 billion people, God chose you to work for him personally. That is not a low job. Five, what are the odds of that? Man, what are the, even our governor of Louisiana can't figure that out. What are the odds of that? Did you see that sheriff last night? I said, man, why don't you come to Louisiana and help us? Every department and every political office need help. He just laughed, never said nothing. I don't know. Out of 5 billion people, God chose you. I think that's a high honor. So, possessing your vision must include understanding yourself. God cannot make much of any man who does not make much of himself. Now watch this. I don't want you to misunderstand this. Sometimes I get up in the morning and I look at myself and I go, Jesse. I talk to myself, Jesse, come here. Because see, sometimes your mind's wandering. Jesse, come here. And I look at myself. I go, you got it, boy. You got it. You got it, kid. You got it. Now, I'm not talking about this, because this ain't much to get. You understand? I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about the anointed and his anointing living inside of me. See, this gift of the Holy Ghost, this finishing product that will complete all that God has said I could do in me. I go, Jesus. He say, what? Oh, you right there. Yes, I am. I think of, I'm God's condo on the earth. I'm his husbandry, if you want it in King James. I'm his apartment. Yes. Hallelujah. And see, I tell myself that. Then I got to think, I've had some people say, how do you keep the attention of people? You say something. If you just do this. Or do like Brother Lynn says, Jesse, come explain that. Did y'all see me last night? And it was wonderful because when I got close, I didn't tell you, when I got close, Brother Lynn, I mean, the energy of the Lord was on him. It was wonderful. It was a blessing. See, but you got to understand yourself. You got to believe in yourself because God believes in you. But the reason why people can't believe in themselves is simply because they always look at their failures. See, you're becoming paralyzed with failure. Let me just tell some of you people just starting out in the preaching world. What you're worried more about is delivery. When you don't worry about your delivery. It's what you say that counts. But see, most people judge you not by what you say, but by your delivery. See, so you want a good delivery, see, people. So I've told people just starting out to preach. I said, you know, people will call you to minister. And they go, oh, I don't want to go over there. You know, because, you know, I just started. I can't put a message together or a series. Maybe God's sending them over there not for you to help them, but for them to help you. What does that mean? Simply means if you go down there, no, you may not be able to put two sentences together. But you see, God didn't send you down there to minister to them. Maybe he sent you down there for them to minister to you, to allow the confidence of God to flow. When I first started preaching my law, I thought, how could these people take this? Well, they was intoxicated with God. See, and I know I didn't do right and didn't do good. When Kathy first started speaking, she'd cry. She'd say, I want y'all to open your Bibles. So we open up our Bible, and she'd go, the Bible says in Ephesians 2. And I said to myself, I tell you what, we're going to be here a long time, I guarantee. And now when the Holy Ghost comes upon her, she's even changing in that manner. Used to she'd go, glory. Now she goes, she looks at me and goes, this is that. This is that. I said, can we get a little more information here, Kathy? This is that. I see it on Sister Lynn sometimes. When she comes off, you ought to see when she walks. She walks down there like this. She looks at me. Are you ready? I want to go, this is that. But that's wonderful. See, because it's not how you say, it's what you say. So have confidence enough that God's going to place the word in your mouth. But you got to have confidence in yourself. See, in one respect, all men are weak. That's true. But in our weaknesses, we should never become weak links. I'll never forget the first time Kathy got a full message out. It was a blessing. That's not criticism. Because I want to tell you something. One tear out of her eye touched the whole congregation. We were on a television program one time. They called me to interview me. I said, Kathy, come here. I didn't want to go. I said, come on. I said, come on. She said, but they want to talk to you. I said, we're talking to me. It's talking to you. Come on. I want you to be on the program. I don't want to go. Come on, Kathy. So, man, I'm pulling it like this. And the guy's going, somebody make up their mind. Come on. 2, 1. Finally, I get it like that. And the man says, but we have what is today, evangelist Jesse Duplantis from New Orleans, Louisiana. He was very astute in his way of talking. And today we'll be talking about how the Spirit of God can come into your life and change your mind, change your spirit, change your body. It's wonderful to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, Brother Duplantis, we would like for you to explain to the viewing audience what God has done for you. And I said, I'll tell you one thing. Bless God, 1974 on a Labor Day weekend at about 8:45. Man, I'm cooking. Boy, I mean, the Holy Ghost is working. And he says, oh, bless God, bless God. Hallelujah. And, you know, they do 2 shots and wide shots and 1 shot. You see it. And you don't want people see you do this because you try to find that camera, you know. So he just then born. He said, I'll tell you what, isn't that wonderful, people? Right now, I want you to get on your phone and call. If you be in touch by the power of God, call. He said, now you have your lovely wife with you. I said, this is my wife, Kathy. He says, Kathy, would you please tell us how you, Jesse tells me you got saved before he did. What happened? Kathy goes just like this. The Lord came into my life. And I went like this. Oh, blah, 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 blah. But, watch this, I look, and the guy that's interviewing goes, they forgot about me. The phones start ringing off the wall. It was wonderful. I was glad because you see what happened was the Lord came out. That precious gift went right through that camera. One woman calls it, I'll tell you, because you got that heathen saved on the phone. I said, ma'am, I used to be a heathen, but I ain't a heathen no more. But I don't doubt there's some traces of it in your life. You know, women have a hard time forgetting it, bless God. In one respect, all men are weak, but in their weaknesses, they should never become weaklings. Then finally, Kathy came to me one day. She was so excited. She said, I'm a preacher, not crying. I thought, praise God. I got to see this. Hallelujah. She's crossed her Jordan. She's possessing the land. Brother, she went out there, and my wife doesn't talk fast. You know, I talk a lot faster than she does. She went out there, and she jumped across the Jordan. And there the Hittites were. She said, I want to tell you what God said. And I want you to turn around to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1. And Jesus, I'm going to tell you, he's going to make the life to you. I thought, what is that? My God, let's go back to, I want to help you, God, you bless you. She preached an hour sermon in 2 minutes. She stopped and she said, now that's the truth. I said, did you get it on tape? Did you get it on tape? They said, it's too fast. It's too fast. We tried to get it on tape. Now, she was so concerned about that delivery. had nothing to do with that delivery. I want you to get the point. Had nothing to do with that. Not you want to think you did well. Don't misunderstand it. But what she said in them two minutes changed people's lives. Because see, people were going like, and what happened is God supernaturally sped up the hearing. They went, yeah, I got it. It was powerful. Look at she left. But that's not being critical. It was one. I mean, people come to the altar, cried, bawled, squalled, got saved. I heard one person say, I'll tell you what, that's the way I like preaching. Well, you can understand it. Joshua, come on. Be thou strong and very courageous. We can talk about this all night, but we got to possess this. See, how do I possess it, Brother Jesse? Possessing your vision is found in nothing else but the Word of God. He said in verse 8, this book of the Word shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Boy, that is a very important scripture. You do that, then the second part could. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. See, success is depending upon your workload, depending on what you're willing to do in the Word of God. Not what you're willing to do physically upon the earth, but what you're willing to do in the Word of God. You heard what Brother Copeland said the other night? He started preaching. His first message was in his living room. I guess that was a traveling ministry. That's the beginnings of a traveling ministry. Go to the living room. So Brother Copeland went to the living room. I think Jerry said he went to some other room. He went to the bedroom. When God called him, Brother Copeland went to the living room. Brother Savelle went to the bedroom. I went to the bathroom. That's the truth. I thought about that. That's amazing. That's a full house. That's why we preach good together. We have a living room, a bedroom, and a bathroom. That's all you need. Think about that. It's amazing how God places people together. How'd you get saved? That's God. I start preaching in the living room. That's God. I start preaching in the bedroom. I got saved and preaching in the bathroom. Where's the rest of the people? Oh, I can't think of another room in the house right now. I don't know. They're in the kitchen. Kitchens. That's an oxymoron. I've been thinking about building another house, but I'm not building a kitchen. I ain't building no kitchen. I'm building a delivery window. I ain't building no kitchen. I want a drive-up window. You know, kitchens cost a lot of money. Them cabinets cost a fortune. All them stoves that look good in the refrigerator, that, you look at that. That's a tapping range. Have you ever put it on? Oh, I didn't. Does it do that? I thought those knobs were put on there for prettiness. And I'm glad. Me and Kathy don't cook no more. She don't need to. We buy ourselves now. I mean, she'll come and she says, I'm cooking tonight. What do you want? Kentucky Fried Chicken? Wendy's? First Cafeteria? What's it going to be tonight? Or are we going downtown and eat Chinese? Oh, if we really want to be elegant, let's go down to the French Quarter and we'll eat at Mr. B's. Brother, when you walk in there, they say, table for two. They give you a menu you can't read. And a waiter that doesn't speak much English. Yeah, we'll take that. First time in my life, I got an artichoke. Didn't know what it was. A full, complete artichoke. I said, what is that? It looked like a grenade to me. There's a lot of terrorism going on. I was a little concerned. I didn't know what that was. That's what you ordered. Oh, excuse me. How do you eat that thing? I just picked the thing up. I said, that ain't right. One guy said, just pull the scales off. Pull the scales off. I pulled them off. He said, now drag it between your teeth. Did you get something? Yeah, I got string in my teeth. I don't know what is this. I don't like that. I don't want that. See, a Cajun is not used to eating that. That artichoke cost me $30. I wanted to use it as a weapon. What I was going to do is go down to the real bad parts of New Orleans, go blow my horn, go, bump, bump. One of those people, grenade! Go. I believe Joshua would have won the promised land with them artichokes. Possessing your vision excludes preconditioned ideas of religion. Possessing your vision includes understanding yourself. Possessing your vision is founded on nothing else but the Word of God. Now watch this. Every promise of Scripture is a stimulus to exertion, not a sedative. The problem with the church, they're all stoned. They're stoned. When you hear the Word of God, it should be a stimulus to exertion. God, all right, let's go. Hallelujah. But you go to churches and everybody goes, hey, man, how you doing, man? Whoa, man. Well, we're going to get another hit of the Word of God. They're all stoned, man. You see, if you don't know much about drugs, there's uppers and there's downers. You hear that ex-drug addict up there? Uppers, which means amphetamine, mescaline, crystal, speed, which means that you can drop it like a Benny, like truck drivers take them little black mollies, they call them, or you can shoot it in your arm, but you ain't going to get that needle out of your arm fast enough, so that stuff going to hit you. Look at these people. That stuff going to hit you, and you're going to go, wow! And Kathy, before I was saved, she knew I was on that stuff. One time she found me, I was inside the kitchen cabinets reading the wallpaper. She said, get out of there. I said, because you're like this. One time I knocked on 240 apartments with a screwdriver in my hand. I said, you want me to tighten your air conditioning vents? Huh? Huh? Stone, boy. Now, alcohol is a depressant, a downer.
Yay.
One time drunk as a skunk in Arlington, Texas, I had a Doberman pincher in my face. I mean, spit wanted to eat me, and I looked at him, I kissed his nose. He could have eaten my face. I'd have never felt it. I was drunk. Now, when I wanted to do crazy things, I'd take uppers and downers. Uppers, you walk and you go, yeah, yeah. When I first went to a Pentecostal church and saw all that jerking stuff, people go, glory to God. I said, oh, they're mixing their stuff. Let me say this in close. My time is at hand of the unloosening here. Listen to the statement. Knowing what is already yours makes you walk on untrodden ground. Verse 3 of Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, have not I already given you. That's a quick paraphrase, but you understand what I'm saying. Knowing what is yours or is already yours makes you walk on untrodden ground. Now, the problem with people that will attack people such as yourself and I is we walk on something that we know is ours. Now, they don't know it's theirs, even though it is. They have title deed to it. God has given it to them. But you see, they misunderstand your confidence of walking out there and believing for arrogance and greediness. See, I hear a lot of people say, you prosperity, word of faith, people are greedy. Well, how come you want all I got? No, we're not greedy. We know what's ours, and we go get it. Then we turn it into tools for the gospel instead of toys for play. See, so knowing what's already yours makes you walk on untrodden ground, see? So, and they misunderstand that because they're looking at it from like, they really want that. But they don't know if God can give it to them or would give it to them, because you never know what God is or how God is or what he will do. Yet, thousands of years ago, he drew the boundaries of Israel, the state of Israel. He didn't check with the United States of America. He didn't check with the people after World War II when they're going to split all this up, bless God, and give this over here and give this over there. And we're going to get. He didn't check into that. He drew them boundaries. And as far as he's concerned, when he's coming back, them boundaries, he's going to those boundaries. I don't care who's not. The Hittites got to go, boy. See, he drew those boundaries. Now, he expected us to walk on untrodden ground because he told us that it was ours. So he told me I could have faith. Now, don't get mad at me if I walk out by faith. Yeah, but you're liable to drown. Well, you won't see it. The storm's going to sink your boat. But I learned something. Everything around that boat's over your head, boy. But everything around you is under your feet. I mean, it's how you look at something, see? So when you begin to walk out there and flow in that kind of anointing, I mean, you're going to get some criticism. Because they think it's arrogance. They think it's greediness. They think it's all these things that it's not. I had one man tell me, and I closed with this, how can you believe all that? I said, well, he said, what makes you think you can have it? How can you believe it? I said, verse 8, this book of the law, word shall not depart out of my mouth. I have meditated therein day and night, that I've observed to do all according to that is written. Therefore, I have made my way prosperous and I have good success. Wherever I go, I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. Now, you see, when you say that, the first thing people think of is money. You know, you can have all the money in the world and not be blessed. Prosperity and health connected together in 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Maybe the reason why people are not prosperous is because they don't understand healing. Maybe the reason why some people are not healed is because they don't understand prosperity. They're connected together. And the reason why, because you can't enjoy one without the other. I don't care how much money you got. If you're sick as a dog, you ain't going nowhere. You understand? You can't enjoy your prosperity. Or you can be healthy as an ox. If you ain't got no money, you can't do nothing. See, notice they're connected together. You know, that's a simple analogy, but that's true. They work good together. If Kathy's feeling good and I'm feeling good, sometimes I get up. I'm not a big mall shopper. I never have, you know. But every once in a while, I'll get up and I'll just get, and I say, hey, you want to go to the mall? Yeah, let's go. It's okay. And boy, she said, and she's always trying to buy me something. Kathy's always very kind to me. I just had my birthday. Praise God. So she said, I'm taking you to the mall. I'm going to buy you something. Now, it was 2 weeks late. I ain't got nothing yet. My birthday was July the 9th. I still ain't got my present yet. Nothing. Nothing. She says, so just before we came here, she said, take you to the mall. I'm going to get you something, Jesse. I said, well, that's very nice and kind of you. She said, I said, well, let's go. So she just, we walked in the store. She went, ooh, ooh. And she went to a case that there was nothing in there for me. I just looked in it. I said, Kathy, there's nothing in there for me. She says, we'll talk about you later. She said, look at this. She said, you know, my birthday is coming up in August. It's coming up at the end of this month. I said, yeah. She said, you want to buy that for my birthday? I said, I thought we was going to buy something for me. She said, listen, I'm a faith person. I'm calling those things to be not as though they were. Come on. So there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm not mad. I make a joke, but it's not. I said, fine. She said, you can have anything in this store. No, I didn't see anything I want. And then she gets mad at me if I don't see something I want. Well, she's going to buy me something I don't want. I don't want something I don't want. But see, she's trying to fulfill that obligation, see? You want that? No, I don't want that. You sure you don't want that? Oh, I think that would look good. No, that don't look good. I don't want that. Well, what do you want? Nothing. When I see it, I'll let you know, whatever it is. Okay, you sure you don't want that? I said, no. Well, since you don't want that, I want this. I said, fine. I've learned that. I don't have a problem with that. Now, to me, that's not greediness. We're not showing off. We're just walking in good success. It's wonderful to walk in good success. Why? We've possessed our vision. So when God told Joshua to go to inject a Canaanite, you need a soldier. Notice why he chose Joshua. He's a soldier. You got Hittites, Jebusites, Havites, and all them otherites. You got to knock them out of there. Let's go. That's why he took Caleb. Caleb said, I'm 85 years old, but I'm going to whip a giant today with a stick. He owes me 40 years of back rent. I'm going to get my money. I'm Jewish. I'm going to get my money. An 85-year-old man walked across that Jordan, bless God, possessed that land, knocked that giant out and took his property. So to inject Canaanites, you need a Joshua. It's for a great Pentecostal power, pack, punch, and kick, and service, and meeting, you need an impetuous Peter. Peter will look you in the eye and say, you crucified him! Oh, man, he make you mad, and then bless God, he'll fill you with the love of God and the power of the Spirit. So for a good Pentecostal sermon, you need an impetuous Peter. If you want a great testimony on the plains of Dura in front of a great king called Nebuchadnezzar, you need three Hebrew children. My shack, your shack, and a bungalow have come to town. That's how the Cajuns see it. See, we never could say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So we say my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. Worked good for us. For a great mission to Asia Minor, to Southern Europe. You want to go? You want to touch Asia? You want to touch Europe? You need an ardent, ambitious Paul the Apostle. Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but I shall rise again. Stone me, freeze me, starve me. Don't make no difference. I will finish my course. If you want to know a person that's great in success, when you look at it, it's like I read a book that kind of shocked me. He said, you never can truly write about a person's ministry until they're dead. I said, boy, that leaves me out. Why? Because I'm the generation that won't see death. I read that in a historical book. You can never judge a man's ministry until after his death. I disagree with that. It's the same thing with artists. Their paintings are no good till they die. It don't help them. You understand what I'm saying? I found out that Van Gogh even tried to be an evangelist. Did you know that? Van Gogh, most expensive paintings in the world. Irises, the irises. I think the Japanese paid $60 million, and then one was sold for $80 million. Tried to be an evangelist. You know, he had a touch of God in his life, but there was no one there to develop it. See, there was no one there to pull it out of him. That's the reason for believers' conventions. Let me tell you something. You're going to grow many notches by the time you leave here. And you may be thinking, bless God, I ain't getting nothing at this convention. Oh, the result of this convention will be Sunday. Brother, when you walk from this place, you're going to hear something go ding, ding, dang, dang. You're going to turn around and go, what is that? That's my shield of faith. You're going to be standing in full armor. Come on, devil. So you came in here with nothing, but you can come out here with a full armor of God from your head to your toes. That's what's called. And then think of the word boundaries and go walk upon the place that God has already given you and possess your land. You understand? I told my daughter, and she's here. I don't know if she's here in the morning session, but she just got in. I said, Jody, Daddy and Mama are going to be a blessing to you so we can see it. We want to be a blessing to you so we can see it. I don't want to have to hear about it. If Jesus tarries and I go by the way of the grave and you come to heaven later and you say, boy, Dad, thank you for being so kind to me. You left us in good shape. I want to leave you. I want you to be in good shape while I see it. So I said, Lord, I will move upon the promise of God that a good man makes an inheritance for his children's children. Now, I'm not even a grandfather. I don't have any grandchildren. I have a cat. Well, Jody has a cat, but it doesn't like me. And it's kind of fickle cat. But I believe I'd make a great grandfather. I've already made inroads for grandchildren if Jody and Ed, and I'm not putting pressure on, but if Jody and Ed decide to do that. You know, I'm going to make sure my grandkids are blessed. I get around the Copelands, I get around the Savelles, and they're so blessed. And babies walk up there and grab them. You know, God's seen that in my heart. And I tell you what, John Copeland's daughter just loves me. She'll see me and come run. But today she wouldn't run up to me. She ran. I thought I was going to pick her up. She took off, went the other way. I thought, what did that do? And Marty came up. She said, I told her not to talk to you because you was about ready to preach. Now, that kid, that child, listen, that's a miracle of God. But that sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Boy, she'll just hug me and hold me and just bless me. It's just a blessing. I like that. And when we have ours, wait a minute. When Jody has hers, glory to God. I tell you, I rebuked my wife the other day. I had to do it. She looked at me. She said, you want another baby? I said, get thee hence from me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. No, indeed. I don't want Abraham's kids. I just want his possessions. Glory to God. Oh, God. Glory to God. You enjoyed it this morning?
Yeah.
Give Jesus a hand clap.